Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Question: have you ever wondered why people, maybe even yourself, love to take selfies with famous people? Anyone ever wondered why do we do that? Why do we get on Facebook and we see people, you know, taking a photo with someone and they're sort of trying to cram themselves in as closely as they can? It may be a Christian personality. It may be someone out there in the world, in TV or in a singer. What are we supposed to get from that image? What are we supposed to be thinking? I think the idea is that we look at that and we go, wow, I didn't know Richard knows Nicolas Cage. Wow, I didn't know Celeste knows Beyonce. Is that what we're supposed to get from that? Why else do we take a selfie? Because it's like, hey world, me and this person, we're like that. Now, do any of us believe it for a second? No, sorry, maybe you do. Do any of you believe that they are best friends? I think your friend may have told you that they are not best friends, or that they are best friends, should I say. Why do we do that? Why do we name drop? Do any of you know a name dropper? Yeah, no, the other day I was just walking down the street and then I saw, how do I give me a name here? Justin Bieber, okay. I was just sitting down and I was having a coffee with Justin Bieber and then what happened was a car drove and we're supposed to go, what? Do you know that person? Yeah, you know. Where do we get that from? I think it's actually built by God. I think it's actually designed by God. The only problem is, just like hunger cravings are great. It's a good thing to have a hunger craving because your body's telling you, I need some nutrients, I need some food. If you take that hunger craving and start eating junk food, that's not so good for you. Now that hunger craving isn't actually working for you. It's almost working against you. But if you take that hunger craving and eat some healthy foods and do the right thing, then it's actually a good thing. That desire to want to know someone important, to be friends with someone who's got lots of resources, to be best buddies with someone who's famous, that desire to want to know that person is supposed to be directed toward God. Because as brilliant as that celebrity may be, and don't get me wrong, I love hanging out with people that are doing great things, don't get me wrong, but in actual fact, they are not as a resource to me as I may think. And I think sometimes it saddens the heart of God, who He is the most important person on the face of this earth. He is resourceful. He is intelligent. He is powerful. A celebrity usually can't help my marriage, but God can. And it's so funny how sometimes we will want to take a selfie and walk straight past the God of the universe and take a selfie with a human being while the God who could help me just stands here and says, but I want to know you. Because the funny thing about wanting to take a selfie, this, by the way, it's not about taking selfies with celebrities. Go for your life. What I'm trying to teach you here today is, hey, listen, life is not about pursuing people. It's about pursuing God. It's about knowing Him. That's what's going to bring the greatest value into your life. The greatest value. Now, the funny thing is that when you try and take a celebrity photo, you may do that, but they usually don't want to know you. But we've got a God in heaven who does want to know you. Are you hearing that? The most important person on the face of this planet, in the universe, actually does want to know us. And today I want to talk to us all about the power of knowing Him. When Jesus came to earth, by the way, I've got a few scriptures here for you today, but we're going to be very loud and read with me and do a whole lot of stuff. Is that okay? John chapter 3, verse 16 is a very famous verse, and it gives us Jesus' job description almost as to why He came to earth. And it says this: for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have, what does it say? Eternal life. Now, we all know that. Most of us, the way we read this is, God so loved the world, Jesus came to earth so that we can have eternal life, and we think eternal life is heaven. Jesus came so that we could understand what he did for us on the cross so that we could go to heaven. Well, let's have a look and see what Jesus actually says eternal life is. Here it is, John 17:3. Jesus describes eternal life, and this is it. Can you read it with me? 1, 2, 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you. That's eternal life. That you would know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Friends, eternal life is not a place, it's a person. That's what eternal life is. And why would we know that Jesus didn't just come to earth so that we could get to heaven? Because Jesus came back to bring the original model, because the enemy, through Adam and Eve, destroyed it all. So what was God's original plan by putting us on earth? Was it just simply to get us back to heaven? No. The original plan was that we would know God and that we would experience what's going to be coming in the future, here and now. That you could actually know God and have a personal relationship with him. Friends, this is so important that Jesus unpacks it for us and tells us what's going to be said to every single person in this room one day. Are you ready for it? John chapter 7, verse 21, very powerful verse that we've read many times in this church. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now, at this point in time, we all get nervous. Oh, what's the will of the Father? Because surely I know what that means. I've got to live perfect. I've got to give away everything I own. I've got to wear ugly brown clothes. I've got to be a missionary to China. I know what the will of the Father is. And all of us get really nervous because Jesus says, you're not going to make it unless you do the will of the Father. And then he unpacks it. He says, many people are going to say to me, "Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name?" What does that mean? To tell the future. Wow. "Didn't we drive out demons in your name? And we performed many miracles." And then Jesus says, "I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Okay, these people were living a pretty incredible life and they didn't make it. What chance have I got? I'm not doing many miracles. I'm not casting out demons. What chance have I got? I've got a big chance, actually, because Jesus tells us why they didn't make it. It wasn't because of what they were doing. The Bible says he didn't know them. Did you get that? Pure and simply, what gets you in or what doesn't allow you in is not what you do, it's who you know. How perfect is that? How hard is that? How difficult? Now, some of you are thinking, but I don't think I know him that well, so therefore I still won't make it. No, no. He says to them, "I never knew you." We never had a relationship. I know many of you in this church, and our relationship has different degrees. Some of you I know very well. Some of you I don't know so well. But there are also some people in this room that I have never met. Never. We've never actually met. And that's what Jesus is saying. Guys, eternal life is that you know him. And I pray today, whoever you are, from side to side, front to the back, my deepest prayer is at the end of this service, you will make a decision to want to know God. Come on, let's give him a huge round of applause. So, you know, in our church, friends, in our church, we have one major goal. There's many goals, but there's one major one. This one goal helps direct what we preach about. It helps direct what we sing about. It helps direct most of the stuff that we do in this church. All we are trying to do, all I am trying to do, is I'm trying to be a little sheepdog. Right? I'm a little blue healer, and my job in life is not for you to want to hang out with me. My job in life, because the Bible says that God's people are his sheep, so please don't take that in the wrong way, it's a nice thing. If I'm the blue healer, I'm trying to get you to the shepherd. That's my job. Not for you to love me overly. I mean, it's nice that you do love me. My job is that you love him. Yeah. And that's what I'm trying. So our preaching isn't about, hey guys, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and rules and laws and what are you doing and are you living up to this standard? No, my job is to get you to Jesus. If I can just get you to Jesus, he will direct your life. He will give you what you need. He will empower you. He will speak to you. And so sometimes people say to me, come on, Pastor Rich, turn it up a bit. You know, sort of tell us what to do. No, that's religion, friends. Religion is me telling you what to do, when to do it, how to do it. It might not be the time for you to do A, B, C, D, but the person beside you needs to do it right now. How am I supposed to know where everyone is at? God does. And he will help you. He will empower you. So I'm just trying desperately to get you guys to know him. This is what the Apostle Paul said about this. Is anyone picking up my excitement about this? This is what makes my heart beat. And you'll see why toward the end of the message, why I love this. Galatians 4, verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves. Slaves to what? Slaves to addiction. Slaves to a negative mindset. Slaves to not believing in yourself. Slaves to a low self-esteem. Slaves to bulimia. Slaves to alcoholism. Slave to yelling. The Apostle Paul is blaming all of us being enslaved to something because we didn't know God. So let's reverse that then. Now that we do know God, what hope do we have? You can be set free today. Today. How? How? By knowing what God can do for you. By understanding his power. So there's some young guys in this church and you grew up without a dad. And you're a little bit angry about that. And that's what a psychologist tell us. Usually when you meet an angry young man, it's because he grew up without a dad. Now, not necessarily that he passed away, but dad just wasn't really involved in your life. So you can be a slave to that. You can be a slave. So how does knowing God undo that? Because as you get to know God, you start to realize, wow, my earthly father wasn't too good. But I've got a heavenly father. And he really loves me. He thinks I'm perfect. He thinks I'm awesome. Your dad may have said some negative things over your life, but you've got a dad in heaven that says, I am so pleased in you. I think you're awesome. I want to see you rise up and achieve. Knowing God all of a sudden sets you free from what you were once bound to. Oh, I'm addicted to alcohol. It's been in my generation. Well, Jesus said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you know why we usually go down that road? Because we honestly feel that if I don't do that, I can't be happy. We try and drown our sorrows. Friends, the Bible's being really, really clear. Don't try and give up alcohol. Get to know Jesus. He breaks the alcohol over your life. Are you hearing me? Don't try and have a great marriage. Stop trying to have a great marriage. Get to know the one who knows how to sacrifice. Get to know the one who knows how to speak encouragement. As you get to know Jesus and you start to listen to the way he talks to people, then all of a sudden you can just emulate what he does, and all of a sudden your marriage gets better. Not because you even tried, but because your goal was to get to know him. Amen? Why were we enslaved? Because we didn't know him. God wants chains to break today. 1 Thessalonians, can I just give you some more scripture? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. The Apostle Paul again says, God's will is for you to be holy. Isn't that beautiful? So stay away from all sexual sin. Oh, he's getting tough now. How do we do that? Then each of you will control his own body. Wow, imagine being someone in control. And live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans. And then he tells us why people live like this. Are you ready? Who do not know God. He blames all of those conditions. If you're not living like that, he blames it on the fact that you don't know God. Not because you're weak. Not because you were raised on the wrong side of the tracks. He says the issue is you just don't know him. Can you understand why as a pastor I just desperately want you to know him? Because he'll speak to you about individual situations He will help you. I can't be everywhere at once. No one can be everywhere at once, but He can. Like Dave told us, the Holy Spirit can be with you in your car. If you just say to yourself, God, I really want to know you, He can speak to you about every area of your life. Give someone a high five and say, this is good news. I love this. How many of us, come on, don't leave me hanging. How many of us would love to grow in our love? Anyone want to grow in your love? Of course, okay. Well, here it is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love, what's the problem? It tells us, does not know God. There it is again. So what if we do go on a journey of wanting to know God? You know, your love starts to increase. Do you know the Apostle Paul did some great things with his life? You know, the Apostle Paul literally raised people from the dead multiple times. The Apostle Paul planted more churches than anyone else in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul did so many things. He actually wrote 2/3 of the New Testament that we read today called the Bible. The guy was a powerful guy. And when he comes to writing about his life, this is what he says about himself in Philippians 3:10. The Apostle Paul says, have a read of it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ. Now, I've got a question for you. Is he suggesting that he didn't know him? Is he saying that he doesn't know him? No, he does. But he's saying, yeah, even though I do, I know there's more. He's saying, I want to know Christ. I want to ask Christians in this room, there's a lot of you. You've been walking with the Lord a long time, some of you over a year. Are you thinking you've reached the peak of knowing him? I want to suggest to you, the Apostle Paul didn't think he reached his peak. Why would we think we've reached our peak? There's a lot more, friends. There's a lot more coming. He says that I may know Christ. I want to know Christ. And what's the consequence of that? And experience his mighty power. Some of us have got that back to front. We want the power of God. And then we're going to get to know him at some stage. No. If you want the power, get to know him. If you want to know Christ, you will experience his power. It's just an onflow as you get to know him. So we're going to go on a journey of wanting to know him. You know, I never want to be critical of the songs that we sing in this church, because how many of you know the songs that we're singing are absolutely awesome and they're great? Come on, let's give the worship team a huge round of applause. I love the songs that we sing. One of the songs that I love singing, and you'll often see me just bring it out again. I say, come on, guys, do that song because it just does something to me. And it goes, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control, because I want... Some of you don't know it. I want more of you, God. Isn't that a great song? We may have to sing it at the end of this service. Yeah. Let's sing it. Let's bring it out. It's like that good teacup that you just got to bring out once in a while. We've just got to keep drinking from it. There's only one problem with that song that sometimes I think, I hope people don't misunderstand this song. When God comes into your life, he doesn't come in 70%, 80%, 2%. If God comes into your life, he comes into your life. It's like me saying, yeah, I'm 70% married. Are you married? 80%. Okay, I'll ask again, Pastor Richard. Are you married? I'm only joking, 98%. But the answer is either you are or you aren't, right? God is either in your life or he's not. So when we sing songs like, I want more of you, God, I think God says, how much more of 100% do you want? Yeah. So you can't grow in your salvation. God is either in you or he's not. So why do I love that song then? Because you can't grow in your salvation, but you can grow in your knowledge of him. And that's what I'm praying for. God, I know this much about you, but I want to know this much about you. And then when I know this much about you, God, I want to know this much about you. And God, when I know this much, that's why I will forever sing a song like that. But I'm not trying to get saved over and over again. I'm trying to grow in my knowledge of God. Does everyone understand that? Come on. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, just so that you can see this. The Apostle Paul says, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight. Why? So that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Friends, you've come to church today. My deepest desire for you is that you would grow in your knowledge of God. Does anybody want to go on a journey? Yeah. Can we go there with a few minutes that we've got left? Here we go. Friends, if you want to know Christ more, some of you are thinking, okay, I'm up for the challenge. How do I do that? Well, it's not too different to your physical relationships. Number one, make a decision that you want to know him more. You'd be surprised how many people go, yeah, I know God, and that's enough for me. I know God, it's enough. No, no, make a decision. I know God, but I want to know more. Yeah. Make a decision very clearly. I remember walking past the house in Pasco Vale one day where Emma and a few other young ladies were living, and I was living around the corner. It was a beautiful Saturday afternoon, and I was walking past this house, and I saw a young lady that I didn't quite recognize. She was washing her white car, and she was wearing black leggings and a white top. And I'm not going to lie, my eyes popped out of my head. Is this okay? I know I'm a pastor, but I've got eyes. Is that all right? Right? I'm a human being. Is that all right? Is that okay? And I went, wow, I want to know her. Anyway, I ended up marrying her. She's right there, right? So it all turned out really well. But I'm being really honest with you. I made a decision to want to know her. I made a decision. Make a decision to want to know Christ. Make a decision. Say to yourself, it's not good enough that I've been a Christian for 60,000 years. I want to keep growing in Christ. This, even on your deathbed, learn something different about Christ. Learn something different about him. Number two, are you ready for this? If I was to then, well, I did do this when we did get married. Helen was, she's a real journalist. She likes to write things. She had a diary. She had her private diary, which I only read once or twice. But then she had like an open diary that she just wrote about her thoughts and her dreams and her ambitions. Do you know, as I began to read about her life and what she, even as a young girl, she used to journal and write things down. Do you know, I started to know what she loved, what she didn't like, her dreams. I started to know who she was because of what she had written. Are you hearing this? Do you want to know Christ more? Why don't you read what he has written? Why don't you write down, why don't you read? Because he's already written down what he loves, what he really loves, what he dislikes, what he thinks is not helpful for you. Do you know, it's already been written down. And it shocks me sometimes how people, although they've got God's diary and they're welcome to read it, they're like, God, I want to know you more. Watch, help, God, I want to ask you, should I love my wife or not? And then they come to church and go, God doesn't speak to me, bro. What question did you ask him? Oh, I was just asking him, should I murder my boss or not? I was just wondering, God, is it okay if I murder my boss because he's not a very nice man? I think the Bible sort of tells you what God thinks about all of that. And people want to know Christ. They want to know more about him. But have you already read what he's already said about a whole lot of stuff? He tells us how to do life. He tells us how to love one another. If you want to know Christ more, why don't you read his journal? You know, if one of your friends has really let you down and everything within you wants to condemn them and throw a rock at them, I wonder what Jesus would do with someone who did the wrong thing and you could throw a rock at them. Oh, I see what Jesus did. He who has not sinned, you cast the first stone. Oh, so maybe that's what I should do with my friend. Are you? Honestly, it's that simple. But people are like, yeah, no, I don't like that stuff. God, you tell me directly. And God says, no. I'll tell you more once you've read what I've already said. I will tell you more, but how about you just read what I've already said? And then I can keep guiding you and keep taking you on a journey. Amen? Amen? Come on. Come on, let's give the Lord a huge round of applause if you know what I'm talking about. Read about his will, his ways, his character. Understand what he wants. Number three, if you really, really want to get to know Christ, hang around with people who know Christ. Hang around with people who actually do know him, because they may tell you things that might not specifically be in here. For example, you may be going through a situation where finances are really tough and you're looking at bankruptcy and you're thinking, how will God help me through bankruptcy? Because it actually doesn't say in the Bible clearly, if thou go through bankruptcy in Australia, I shall help you. It doesn't say that. Yeah. But do you know that person at Life Group who is walking with Christ? You know, they actually went through it last month for some unknown reason, and they can look you in the eye and tell you exactly how Jesus helped them through it. Yeah. Exactly. So sometimes when we hang around with God's people who know him, then we get to know him through other people's experiences as well as your own. Yeah. So friends, that's why I'm desperate for all of you to get to a life group. What's a life group? Just a group of people that meet midweek who share their stories, who talk about what they've learned from God and you can learn from them. Don't ever be too big to say that you can't go to a small group. Okay? Let it be a part of your life. Learn from others. Learn from their mistakes in many cases. This is what we did and it didn't really work out for us. And number four is this. Live what you do know. Don't be asking for more if what he's already given you, you clearly don't want to obey anyway. Okay, that's really wrong. You should never do that to your children. If your children say, hey dad, I really want X, and you say, sure, you can do that, but just clean your room. If they come back to you again asking for something different, you should naturally say to them, did you clean your room? And if they say no, you just say, well, we're still in the same position then. Okay, don't just keep adding and adding and adding, because I'll tell you what, it becomes a weight on your shoulders. God will hold back on what he's going to tell you until you start living what you already do know. Is this okay? When God speaks to your heart, then just act. Jesus said the wise person hears and then does what they've heard. Friends, it's my job to completely turn you away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and make you eat from the tree of life, which is Jesus. May we never be a church where all we ever do is say, guys, do this and do that and do this. And then we all get to heaven and Jesus says, I don't even know you guys. What have I done for you as a pastor if that's the case? Now, my job is, hey, guys, do we all know Christ? How are you going with Christ? Because then I know he can speak into your married life. He can speak into your business. He can speak into how you raise your children. And at the end of this life, you knock on the door, he opens up the door and he goes, hey, Sally, how are you going? That's what I want for you. Is that okay? So we're not going to be a church full of rules and laws. We're going to be a church full of relationship. It's always going to be about Jesus and how wonderful he is and how awesome he is. I love him. We haven't got many moments left, but I want to tell you how important this is to me and why this is my heartbeat. When I was 17 years old, my pastor told me, Pastor Rich, he didn't say that at all. Maybe he was prophesying. He said, Richard, you probably should have called me Pastor Rich, but no, he said, I had a dream. God told me you're going to have a motorbike accident. He wasn't cursing me. He was just telling me what God had told him. Well, I believed him. I put my motorbike away, but then I got it back out to take someone to a youth group. And on the way to that youth group, I had a motorbike accident. Head-on collision with a taxi. 80 kilometers. Shouldn't have been going that fast. My fault. But I hit this taxi. I flew for 25 meters. My back landed on a curb. And I was touch and go for 20 minutes. And during that time, I had a vision. Some people call it a dream, call it what you like. But I had a vision that I was actually in heaven. And I was feeling the love. And it was just an awesome place to be honest. And then I heard a voice say to me, do you want to stay in heaven? Or do you want to go back to earth? Everything within me wanted to stay in heaven. Everything. 17 years old, happy to leave. But I made this one comment to God. God, I just don't feel like I know you. I'd just become a Christian. Did I know I was going to go to heaven? Yes. Did I really know him? Did I experience life with him? No. I said, God, please bring me back so I can get to know you. Some people think, how do you stay motivated, Pastor Rich? I feel like it's the only reason I'm on the earth is to just get to know him. I just want to know him. I just want to know him. That's all I want to do is just know him. Now, the funny thing is, that's my agenda, but I've got a family that I'm raising, and guess what? I think they know him. I love that. They know him. And then I've got an extended family and I'm just trying to help you guys to know him. And then I'm going to try and help you raise your kids that they will know him. Because to me, that's what it's all about. To know him. I even wrote a song about it called That I May Know Him. That's how passionate I am about these friends. I feel like I've done my job if you guys know him. I just think he's powerful enough to do what he has to do inside of you. If I can just get you to sit with him face to face. If I can just do that, I reckon I've done my job. Amen. Parents, just help your kids know him. That's your job. Don't stop telling them off. And every kid in the room said, yeah. Now, seriously, stop being the Holy Spirit to them. Your job is to direct them to Christ. Let Jesus speak to them. Amen. Come on, let's go on a journey. Friends, I'm going to open this up right now. Remember, what gets you in or what excludes you is whether you know him. My question to every person in this room is, when did you know him? At what point in time did you open up your heart and say, Jesus, I want to know you? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about, do you have a cross around your neck? Do you know him? Do you know him? If you can't remember the day you met him, I don't think you'd forget that. Today's your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.